Blog Talk Radio.
Drop top pour, rolling on my wrist. Diamonds up and down my chain. Cardi B straight, and it can't tell me nothing. Boss up and I change the game. It's my big bronze boogie guy. All them girls shook. My big fat ass guy. All them boys shook. We're from dollar bills, and I be popping rubber bands.
To sit down and watch a lot of basketball starting on Monday or Tuesday of the first part of the week, and this went until Sunday. We had so many things happen. We had history to happen. We had the first time having a 16 seed to end up losing. I'm sorry, a 16 seed winning, beating a first number one seed, but not just a number one seed, the overall number one seed. That was with Virginia losing to the University of Maryland at Boston. Baltimore County. So we're very excited about being able to be a part of that, and hope you was as well. Before we move on with our show, we want to make sure we introduce our co-host so they can say hello to you. We're going to start with a man in the middle, and I call him. That's Coach Tony Stallworth.
What's up, what's up, what's up? Glad to be back. Been on that mission, but I'm back intact.
It's good to have you back, my brother. Good to have you back. Then we're going to have our coach of the airways, our most famous radio personality, Darryl E-Train Elliott.
Hello, everybody. It's Talking Sports and Touchdown. I sure did miss you, man.
We miss you too, man. We just don't know, my brother. All right, let's move on to our other co-host, and that's the female of the bunch, the young lady of the millennium, the lady of the millennium. That's Coach Lauren D.
Good evening, everybody. Happy to be back with you on this Wednesday tonight. We got a lot of stuff to cover. A lot of things happened over the weekend. I'm ready to get into it. A lot of brackets busted. Let's get it started.
Wow, you're so right. A lot of brackets was busted. But before we move on, we want to also mention our other calls, and that's Coach Jermaine Edwards. And he hadn't made it on the live, but when he come in, we're going to just go with it, and he's going to join in with the conversation, but we're going to make sure he say hello to you. All right, as I said earlier, our call-in number is 347-857-4192. And if you want to go to the web link, you can go to blogtalkradio.com, LD Alberto Smith Production, and you can hear the show by web link. And if you want to email us, you can email us at talkingsportsplus@gmail.com. All right, team, let's jump in. Just jump off into this so-called upset-laden first week of the NCAA March Madness. Let's kind of start with that game that got everybody's attention, considered to be history. And that game was with University of Maryland at Baltimore County. upsetting University of Virginia. Not just the number one seed, but the number one overall seed. And I want us to jump in and let's talk about, let's share some thoughts on that upset, which kind of just started the week off with a bang, but we had other things to start off as well.
Well, I want to say this, Tony Stallworth, that it's obvious that the game, regardless of the seeding, has to be determined and played on the floor. It's obvious also that the number one team in the nation and the number one seed was pretty well overranked. My measuring stick is this. You lose one player to injury, then it causes you to lose by almost 30 to a number 16 seed, then something's wrong with that math there. But I can say this. When you look at the game of basketball versus my side, somebody said it the best, and that was Mike Krzyzewski. He said this. He said, I might have five All-Americans, but when I play against five more good basketball players and they have that one good game against me, they're the better team. And that's what happened. I don't think that Virginia was that much overrated. I think they were worthy of the status they had, but when it came to play, they did not defend it. And the results showed to everybody. And that was history.
That's all right. Got any other thoughts on that?
I'll go ahead and jump in. That probably was the biggest upset of the weekend, in my opinion, because I picked Virginia to actually win the whole thing. But I kind of went against my better judgment, but I picked Virginia because I had watched Virginia play all season, and I had watched Virginia go through the ACC, and I mean, you make it through the ACC as well as they did. I was like, okay, they should be good. But when they did face this UMBC team, the UMBC team exploited everything that Duke couldn't do, that Florida State couldn't exploit. This UMBC team basically took down a giant.
That's true.
David and Goliath situation. So when it happened, everybody's like, whoa, what's going on? So that just opened the gate for everybody else to lose after that. You know, I would have been 100% better today if Alabama would have beat Villanova. That would have been a big shocker, but we'll get to that a little later. But that 16 seed being that one seed was something that we're going to talk about to the end of time, maybe.
And just to kind of jump in that so we can kind of also add some thought about that. It was a shocker to me, and I normally I'm the one that, as I spoke in the last segment of this last week, that, you know, some of these teams, I think is they be getting practice in those first round when you start matching up teams that might be in that capacity of UMBC. However, we see it is no longer like that. So that's going to kind of lead us to really whether we consider that with those upsets, whether we need to include more lower seed or mid-majors teams, because that was proven not only with that game, there were several other games, and teams are still there, like Loyola of Chicago is still there in the Final 16. Teams like Clemson, I'm not saying Clemson don't play in a rough and rugged ACC, but no one projected them to be in the 16. And then when you look at several other teams that made things happen, that was surprising. So it was to the point where that was a move, as Coach Smith said, and Coach Stallworth stated, that you had that first upset, then all of a sudden, like, the dominoes start falling because we had other teams to lose. Team that was last year champion, North Carolina. So, you know, really, really, when you look at it, you know, the weekend was set with that upset, and it moved forward, and it was an exciting weekend. So, you know, our thing is to make sure we share thoughts about it. We still want to continue to talk about it in regards to the topic being the upset laden first weekend of the NCAA tournament. Any other thoughts in regards to the upset?
I want to add this. The word parity sometimes gets misconstrued somewhere around the line, because when those Division One basketball players are not on the big-time major programs, they begin to be overlooked and they are not really followed through throughout the real season. But it's a lot of parity now right across the table with 64 teams. And what you see is these guys are hungry at that level to get to the next level, and they put their best foot forward. Whereas a team that comes in like Virginia, and I agree with Millennia Smith, because ACC is a powerhouse. You're looking at Duke, and you're looking at North Carolina, and NC State, Clemson. You know, these teams are here that had a lot of problems with Virginia, and Virginia just kind of like manhandled them. And then it seems as if, and you said, Dr. Smith, that was an opportunity for everybody to say, ho, now we in. We can make this happen too. So that one loss caused two other number one seeds to go down and say, all of them gone down now except one, isn't it right?
I think you got two. Okay, you got Villanova still and okay.
Yeah, Villanova's the only one left.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then a lot of number two seeds, new two seeds follow. So basketball, I think that's really good for the sport, especially when you look at teams like the SWAC that have to play the play-in game and get there. Usually you play the play-in game, you say, okay, we've survived our mission. It's going to be, hey, just to lay down and get on out of here and take the money and go to the house now. But now, hey, it ain't that way no more. So I think, you know, the University of Baltimore or whatever that team name is gave everybody hope, especially at the lower level teams that are striving to get in and be a part of the big dance. The blessing in disguise is what I think it was.
Exactly. And to add with that, if you will, Coach Starr, Coach Smith, and Coach Elliott, with that happening, you know, with that upset of University of Maryland or Baltimore County, then you also had teams like Florida State pull out of Miami, and then you have other schools that may impact, Loyola, Chicago. Should there be more mid-major team considered? And one of the things I want to make sure people understand is that when we say mid-major, there's a big six. They call it the big six, and that's including the Southeastern Conference, the Atlantic Coast Conference, the Big Ten, the Big 12, the Pac-10, and then you have the Big East. So that's the big six. Now, if you're not in those conferences, they kind of push you on the mid-range team. So my point is, should we have more of those teams outside of the big six make it to the NCAA tournament so they can have that same opportunity as each one of Loyola had, as well as Texas Southern had the same opportunity. And I add Syracuse. Even though Syracuse is from the from the ACC, think about they had to play a play-in game just like Texas Southern. Let's get some thought on that. Let's talk about that a little bit, whether we should add more mid-major teams to that so those other teams would have an opportunity, just like Baltimore County, which is Maryland, Baltimore County.
Well, I think what you have to take in consideration is this. The big dance mean the biggest teams. There is a subpar tournament, so to speak, for those teams that come out there, and that's the NIT. So what you don't want to do is add more and lessen, because the two of us watched the NIT the other night, and it's draining now, because – the conversation is not good. The excitement is not there. The stands are not filled. So I think narrow the gap, force those teams to play the type of schedules to earn their way. I don't think we need to expand the number of teams. It's too long anyway, because basketball goes over into mid-April. And I think what you have to do is just let this play out and see that, hey, if you get in the dance, it's anybody's game now. Because what has been established, but I think the numbers and the way it's characterized is good. It's just that it has changed because most teams that are getting there now feel like they deserve it and they compete.
Exactly.
That's my thought on it.
Okay, thank you, Coach. Coach Smith, you want to add? Either Coach Eddie, y'all want to add some thoughts to that? Yes. Coach Smith,
yeah,
go ahead.
I'll go ahead. See, last week I was saying no to the mid-majors, you know, or we should just get 6 or 7 in and that's it. But I had to do my little research, and I had to go back and I had to remember that Wichita State about 5 or 6 years ago was not the Wichita State that they are now. The Butler Bulldogs were not the Butler Bulldogs 5 or 6 years ago that they are now. So if I say, well, no, we're just going to let 5 or 6 in, that might exclude a Wichita State team that's very good. Or that might exclude a Butler team that's very good, or a Providence team, or a Harvard team, or a team like that. So I think we kind of do need to expand more mid-majors and get rid of these teams such as, I'm going to go ahead and use the example of Alabama. Alabama was on the bubble team, which means they were one loss away from not being in. When you have teams that, such as Wichita State, or I got a better one, a team such as USC, who really, in my opinion, they did amazing in their conference. They shouldn't have been in the NIT. They should have been in the NCAA. But that's another argument to say, well, is it a popularity contest? So we're getting the popular kids. Colin Sexton's a top 10 pick in the draft. USC doesn't have a top 10 pick in the draft, so we don't want to see them. We want to see a top 10 pick in the draft in the NCAA tournament. That's where I think the problem is going to lie next, is we're letting a lot of these teams come in that have top 20 draft picks for the NBA draft, and we're letting them come in, and they didn't have a good season. So I think that should be addressed next. But me and Magic, I said let a few more in and get rid of those on the bubble team, such as Alabama.
Well, the thing is, I agree with her, because if you go back and look at Troy University on last year, having Wesley Personal Jr. on that team, the tournament, you know, they want that popularity to pick up ratings and viewing, and it is a business. It really is a business. And having South playing the role that Troy played last year allows them to drop to another level, just as she said, because they did not have that player. You know, it's all about business. So revenue generates revenue, and when the revenue generates revenue, along with the advertisement, it pays the school.
I wanted to add something to what you said, Daryl E. here. You know, last week we were talking about, you know, the frustrations of how many teams were in and how drawn out we thought it was last week. And then we have this anomaly that happens this week. And now it's like, let's add more mid-majors. But the reality is, last week we were talking about having a mid-major championship all in its own and separating teams in that way. If I'm correct, correct me, Lauren Smith, if I'm wrong about that. But that was our tenor last week. And again, this anomaly this week, and now it's like, you know, it's any man's game. But was it just what it was, you know, an isolated event? Do you see other mid-level conferences right now that are worthy to play in the big game? Is it now that your vision is different because of this anomaly that happened? So I'd like for someone to piggyback on that and tell me, yeah, there are teams out there that should be in this right now, today, you see.
I think you opened up the can of worms that could be looked at more than one way, simply because of the fact some conferences don't require teams to play outside of their conference and strength of schedule. They just play going in a tournament, and tournament champs get to be the representative. You go into Pac-10 and Big 8, where those teams can, or SEC, where those teams can play outside of their conference and bump their schedule up, win or loss, because sometimes it's according to how you do outside your conference with the power rankings to get in a tournament. That's why you see the 17 and 12 or 18 and 11 teams in the larger division, when I say larger division being major over mid, get in, whereas you can see teams that are 24 and maybe 6 or 7, like the South or whatever, or somebody in a large, lower category that don't get in. Because they go, you've got to have a drawing line. If not, you'll have a team, you'll have a tournament with everybody in because of. So it's a line of parity, so you can almost get the best in. And I think what has happened history wise now is going to make the committee maybe rethink it to some extent. So they're going to think about it. I'm sure they are.
And just to kind of add, and Daryl, as we were talking last week, was talking about possibility because a lot of the teams didn't get in those mid-majors. There's possibly they could have a mid-major, either a Division One AA national championship, just like they have that. That consensus, I think, is still here. I just think, like you said, things that happened this past weekend make you think about maybe there's room for the UMBC. There is room for the Butler. There is room for Gonzaga. There are rooms for those because they're not part of the Power Six. But is it just a aberration that played well for one game, in some cases one weekend? Well, now everybody want to talk about, you know, did we get it right? Did the committee get it right? Did they leave out intentionally with Syracuse, put them in the play-in game, or should have been in the game in a regular spot? So the question do come up, did they replace one of the teams that could have been in there that may have had even a better record, but we see their performance, and their performance has been outstanding so far with that zone defense. So my thing is that I won't ever pull away from thinking that possibly we should have another. I know we have a Division II, but it's a possibility you got, you know, I didn't know it was like 300-some teams that playing Division One basketball. That's a lot of teams, and you're only going to use 6 to 8 out of the 307 or 308. So that's something to talk about, and that's something for the talking heads and the pundits to talk about. But on this show, we did share that thought about a possibility of having Division One AA championship, and just like you have a Division One, so those teams that didn't get in can get a chance to play and play for it as well. So it's just a thought, it's just our conversation, and that's what it's all about. But that's why we want you to call in. We want you to call in to the call in number, which is 347-857-4192. And when you call in, you want to share your thoughts about what you saw this past weekend, even thought about your school, just press 1. We'll identify the last 4 digits of your telephone number. Then we'll let you actually come on and just share your name and your location. So we do really, really, really look forward to talking with you. So make sure you make that call. All right, let's move to something we talked a little bit and just go back to something we talked about last week, co-host. We talked about what would be the biggest storyline of the first week of the NCAA basketball tournament. We all had an opportunity to kind of share our thoughts about it. Now, just after going through the first weekend, what is the big storyline that happened in this NCAA March Madness?
I'll go first. My biggest storyline, I'm going to go ahead and say, I said a whole bunch of stuff last week. But I'm going to take 3 things that I said last week. 1, North Carolina is trash. We saw that. They cannot win how we thought they could. They're hot garbage.
Hold on.
Go ahead on that.
They got dumped, but they ain't trash.
Okay.
Hey, dumpster.
Yeah.
Dumpster fire.
Exactly.
Oklahoma did exactly what I thought they would do. Nothing. Alabama did a little bit better than I thought. I thought Virginia Tech was going to send them home early. But, you know, one extra night in that good old bed didn't do no different because they came out playing Villanova as they had played them 5 games where they lost. So, the biggest storyline, it would have to be the North Carolina being so trash and so hot garbage.
I think that was
a little bit embarrassing when it came to the ACC because we could have let North Carolina be a 3 or 4 seed. in my opinion, they were ranked too high. I believe if they was ranked a little lower, they probably would have went a little further. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say that. I'm going to say that because I know when Tremaine come on, he's going to have something to say with it. I'm going to go ahead and say that.
Yep, there you go. There we go, my millennium. My millennium speaking strong.
I'll tell
right.
you what. One thing about my sister, she called it like she see it.
That's for sure. She called it like we see it. It's like everybody see it. We don't want to hear, but she called it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all right then. Yes.
You know, I think we missed one line that we should take in consideration. Let's look at the Texas Southern situation. I think Texas Southern mm-hmm. proved from their seed and play-in situation that they were worthy, and they are making that one step forward. That is something that I think should be – that's history as well, isn't it, to a certain extent.
Yeah,
you know, and I think that was something that is more a confidence biter, so to speak, for the rest of the SWAC and MEAC and the rest of the leagues. You know, is that hey, we all basketball players. We get that chance. We got to take advantage of it. Not just because we won our conference. That's it. They have kind of set a pathway to move forward. I think that's something that is a story now. The Texas Southern. And my hat goes off to Mike because, you know, Mike been there. Mike been to Indiana. Mike been to UAB. And Mike has done well everywhere he's gone. And, of course, you know, the two of us got a chance to see him when he came to Montgomery as well. When he came to Montgomery, he didn't have all of his team and still did well. So it's the caliber of the coach, too, as well as those players that the NCAA want to see too, or recognize, or respect. That's the word, respect.
Exactly. And to kind of jump in, I want to tell you my storyline. I'll let Darryl add his in there. But let me say this before I mention my storyline. We was talking a little bit about this last week about the records that 0-13 that Texas Southern had from the start. And comparison, the SWAC got one team in the NCAA play, postseason play, one team. Their record, all are just not number garbage, and they can't never get no 4-1 team. Surprisingly so, and it's in comparison, the MEAC, which is the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference, had three teams in the postseason play. And it was surprising their record was, you know, 18-9 and 22-6, but all of them got a chance to get into the tournament. They played in the CIS, which is a College Insider Tournament. Then they also played in the NIT, and they also had a team in the NCAA. So I guess I don't know whether playing those games made good for your best team, but is it good for your next best team? Because for them to get three teams in there, my question is, what did they do to get three teams? Now, for sure, Hampton won the regular season, so that puts them in the NCAA tournament. All right? North Carolina Central won the tournament. They in the NCAA tournament, NIT, however you want to call it, NCAA. And then North Carolina A&T had a good enough record to make to the CIS. That's money coming from three schools. What are they doing? And none of their records looked at as bad as the SWAC team. SWAC teams didn't get but one in. And that was a tournament champion, but it wasn't a regular season tournament champion. So that's just something I want to just kind of throw out and kind of think. And that could be a storyline right there. But let me say my real storyline is. My real storyline is the Pac-10. The Pac-10 had two teams, and they mm-hmm. got bounced out. The Pac-10, they had two teams, Arizona and Arizona State, and they got bounced out on the first night. Because they got bounced out, Arizona State played in the play-in game, and Arizona played in the first night, which was a Thursday night, and they got bounced out. They have no teams in it, and they are Power 6. That was my storyline. I said that they would not have a team by Monday and they don't have a team in that, in the NCAA tournament. They've been bounced out.
Pac-10 basketball just like Pac-10 football. Pac-10 football all
right.
All offense and no defense. Pac-10 basketball
defense.
All up and down and no defense. So they're made for a game, not a series and anything. You know, that's just the way it is with Pac-10. Oregon seemed to be a little bit better when they won it because that, but you know, they were deep. They caught the NCAA in the football series when it was down a little bit, and they were well deserved. The way they played out there, everything is just free flowing.
Exactly. And so we're looking at this and our storyline, and I'll mention that since Coach Edwards, he had a storyline that he reminded me on when it happened, and he still reminded me why it's still going on. He called me on Thursday or Friday night, and then on Sunday he called me. He said, my storyline, you remember, Uncle O, was what? Lord Ola of Chicago. That's who he said was his storyline. And they're still playing. And they're going to continue to make a storyline. So we all, each one of us had a thought and some ideas about what we thought would be a storyline, and we gave our storyline. So some of it's come to fruition, and some of it is just slowly working its way through. So we're going to kind of look at it that way. Again, the call-in number is 347-857-4192. Make sure you dial our numbers. Make sure you can share your thoughts with us. And once you call in, just push 1, and then we'll identify the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number, and then we'll ask you to identify yourself as well as your location. All right, let's move to the next topic. And the next topic is there a hint of slavery in college hoops? And I want my co-host to kind of take that statement. It was something I saw the talking heads and the pundits was sharing this morning on First Take with Stephen A. and Matt. I want us to kind of share some thought on it as well. Is there a hint of slavery in college hoops? College basketball.
I'm a little bit reserved on that because I did not hear that segment. And I think, Dr. Smith, you might want to just abreast us and open up on that so we can see where it's going, then I can offer opinion. That's just where I am with this.
Okay. To kind of help us get some clarity on that, it was the talk and the thought was that are we sort of like selling our athletes? Athletes going to the highest bidder. Going back to the situation with the Miller and entertainment, where there were money given to these athletes or $73,000 basketball player. We're hearing the football players, and then coming and say, "Is our athletes going to the highest bidder in regards to even with some schools?" That kind of thing. So we have that slave auction type attitude going on, or even when it gets to the point about the NBA jumping in here talking about, you know, about changing this where they want to get into high school now, prepare, identify. So is it the same way where we're selling athletes, but we may not be getting money, but are the colleges doing the same thing because they're playing in the tournament? And the NCAA is making billions of dollars off these college athletes. So is there a hint of slavery?
Well,
Go ahead, Darryl.
Well, just to piggyback off of Spencer Haywood, you know, that was his consent to it. And he basically said the same thing. And he gave scenario, if you have 11 blacks on your team, And you say, well, let's just say Kentucky, and they're creating this humongous amount of wealth in Kentucky. It does have a tinge of slavery, so Spencer Haywood says, because he feels like this money is being made. And again, and it goes back to what Lauren said weeks ago. The kids can't go to McDonald's, but they're sitting here in a billion-dollar stadium. A billion dollar arena, a $500 million arena, and at the end of the game can't go buy a pair of tennis shoes, and they just sitting there and they seeing all this money being made. So, and they're recruited to the highest level, you know, but, you know, it's a tinge of slavery, guys. Let's just look at it and call it spade a spade.
That's my point.
I remain reserved on that because slaves back in the day did get paid. And now I can see where they lie. I see where they're going. And slavery had its limitations. Once a slave, always a slave. Back in the day. So I can see a portion of that being used to identify our student athletes not getting that due diligently. But let's take me, you, Mr. Elliott, and the millennia, how we are earning where we're going. We're going through the process of education, and like I told Darryl the other day, you know, having skills to me exceeds having a whole lot of education because you can do more. These guys know going in that they are going to be used now, but they're going to get to the next level 5 times quicker than we are, and we will never get there. So it has some disadvantages, and it has a whole lot of advantages. But Darryl said it with the most. To simplify the issue is to come up with some kind of way of compensating these student athletes along the way. Now, I'm going to say this. Because you got me stirred up and say, I know a whole lot more. You think I know about this whole process when it comes to these college athletes. Now, you may think they can't go to damn McDonald's. You may think they can't go to the can't buy fish. But if you find out what they're driving every day.
Yep.
And you find out how they really live in that. You know what you're going to say? It is. What it is.
Hey, coach. I'm going to tell you.
Yeah, I
don't doubt what you're saying on probably some of the top athletes, but across the board. If you look at it.
They're going to be even.
See how you interrupt me? So across the board, it sounds a little like 400 years ago, like slavery. Stay in your little house. We'll give you some food. You do all the work, all of it, and I'm telling you that I will take care of you. And when I think back to how Mama used to tell me that they took the ham hocks, the pork chops, and left them with the gun, and they took chickens and made a meal. So I'm saying to you, Coach, across the board, there is a tinge of that could be relegated to what slavery was on how this thing works across the board, and that's my opinion.
Very good. Very justifiable. I can agree with it. That's why we call it opinion.
Exactly. And sort of like I just want to put something out there that I heard today, and it was in regards to a NFL player, and you probably know him, and I want you to kind of think about whatever back long time ago, the history we learned, that whenever we looked like we had too much knowledge, how we were looked at during, whether it was slavery or whenever, or even now. For example, this player is Richard Sherman. Richard Sherman was with the Seattle Seahawks for 7 or 8 years, won Super Bowl and everything, decided to be his own agent because, you know, Richard Sherman is a Rhodes Scholar.
And his
wife works with him as a co-agent. So when
she was a business education major. That's right.
Major. When he went to negotiate just the other day, his contract with the San Francisco 49ers, there was some discussion that maybe he wasn't smart enough, or you ought to be, the amount of money he was given and he signed for was that because he didn't know. And the point is, Richard told him, I know, because see, just like any other agent, I could research other people's contracts. But he told him, said the key to it is not that I signed for less. I signed where I wanted to be happy. But just think about it. I want you to just think about that hint of slavery. Whenever we try to learn how to read, what they do to it, they burn the books. Whenever we speak, we only should speak when we are spoken to. We never should speak out of turn. So what they did, they hung us, castrated. I'm just saying, if this is not the same thing, and we know this man is a Rhodes Scholar, why can't he negotiate his own contract? Because, you know, we're going to give you a little bit, but don't forget who you are. Now, we can add to that conversation.
Well, I think the biggest thing with that is that the one and done put themselves in a bad situation to be in a liability crisis. They got basket weed classes. They got physical education 105.7. They're not even prepared to deal with business. And I'm gonna be honest with you. They need a damn agent, man. Because they simply not prepared, and that's why most of them that don't get guaranteed money don't last in the league, and they fall by the wayside, and we don't know which way they went. So it is a process that really has some advantages for us. In a sense. But Richard Sherman just defied the whole situation by saying, Richard Sherman was not the only one, too, Dr. Smith. Another one is in the back of my head, too, that I may address to a little later on, that went the same, and he was in NBA basketball. I can't think who he is now, but a very famous athlete was his own age. I can't think who he is now, but it'll come back to him. But it's a process because they don't have enough what I call orientation or monitoring or preparing these student athletes along the way of how to handle that type of business. And when they hear those figures, anything other than $100,000, I'm going to tell you something, they won't care how you divide it as long as they know that that's what I signed for. And they don't. And if there ain't nobody there to actually read those prints and see what's guaranteed and what's not or where you are in case of an injury, blase, then, you know, they subject them to lose more than they had on paper anyway. So it has some advantage, it has some disadvantage. Think now, we send a student athletes that one and done that don't know anything. The one and done process is just as worse as the agents being there. Because I think the one and done allowed the agents to make more money.
Exactly. All right.
And that's more than my opinion. Well, Dale, that's more than my opinion. That's a fact.
Exactly.
I like that, Coach.
we love that, Coach. Coach Smith, you want to add something to that? That millennial, I want her to add her thought into that hint of slavery.
Yeah, I really want to say nothing because I'm going to take forever. We're going to be talking about this all night. But I said this a couple years ago when I was doing my research about, you know, all of this and how much money schools make off kids. I did say it was more than a hint of slavery. It was. It was, you know, you're going to do all the work. We're going to make the money. And the only way you really get out is if you get out. So, I mean, it's a hint of slavery. It's more than a hint. It's a whole lot of slavery. And the Richard Sherman thing, that was almost like, I heard people talking today, and it was almost like they were, you know, trying to say the man ain't smart enough to negotiate his own contract. The man went to Stanford. The man ain't go up there to Concordia. The man went to Stanford. The man can read. The man can write. The man can add. He can subtract.
See? Thank you, Dr. Smith. Thank you, Millennial Smith. That just found my point. He earned his what? Means of negotiating. Whether one and done,
there you go. There you go.
And they need somebody.
He ain't going to North Carolina.
Wait a minute now.
No, he needs Trey on here. Go ahead, Coach. Talk to him, Coach.
My girl is hard on the
Tahiti.
That's what I'm talking about. Come on
with it,
coach. Come on, coach.
He didn't go to North Carolina where they, you know, they got African American studies. He didn't go there. He basically did something of substance. So to say the man can't negotiate his own contract, Richard Sherman know how long he has on his body. Richard Sherman know how much his body is worth. Richard Sherman knows if he can play 22, 23 games a season. He knows if he can go through all of that. He ain't finna cheat you out your money, as some of these people are doing, asking for $34 million, and they buy it worth $100,000. That's selfish. Richard Sherman did it the right way, and I applaud Richard Sherman. Sherman's a smart man. Maybe, you know what, this almost reminds me of LeVar Ball. Just because you don't do it the system way is wrong. Just because you do not do it the system way is wrong.
So we was talking about a hint of slavery. It comes out in all forms. And that form is that, if we remember a long time, 200 years ago, you remember when even a black man can read. You know, you ain't gonna be able to read him. He had to hide the way he read, but if he showed he had any knowledge, what the consequences is. So I was trying to relate that with Richard Sherman to exactly what we're talking about. When a man get an opportunity, a man of color get an opportunity to negotiate his own contract, in comparison to people coming out first year, 2 years, but a man that been in the league, that's intelligent, you can read and research yourself, and you know what you want. Because regardless of who you hire as an agent, he ain't gonna. You got to say yes to it. He got to ask you.
The thing I think that misconstrues the whole outlook of the athlete in college is identifying that athlete as a student athlete. If you're going to identify he or she as a student athlete, then why not make them go through all the criteria that a student athlete is supposed to do? Meaningly what? 4 years and damn graduate. You take the whole student athlete away from that student when he's one and done, because now he's a millionaire with a little bit of sense, not enough knowledge in business or finance, and he going for the money. Yeah, you need to go here on with 4 years of slavery.
Exactly, 4 years.
And then when they're released, they're prepared for what? Freedom.
Freedom. There you go. Freedom that they can negotiate my, so I can negotiate my own salary now. But
you
we're gonna count them before, but the call in number is 347-857-4192. We'd like to have you to call in and share your thoughts on this, because this is definitely a topic of discussion. But we're going to move on. We got to move on with the show. The next thing we want to look at is Trae Young and possibly Colin Sexton and DeAndre Ayton and all of those individuals declared for the draft. But particularly, we're going to talk about two. And that's Oklahoma, Trae Young, and Colin Sexton. Will that be the best move for them to declare for the draft? Because Trae Young has already declared. We haven't heard from Colin Sexton. DeAndre Ayton have already declared, and then you have the Mambo from UCLA. What do y'all think? What's y'all thoughts on Trae Young? And we'll get to Colin Sexton in a minute. He hasn't declared yet, but Trae Young has declared. Is that a good move?
No.
Okay.
And yes.
Okay.
No,
all right. All right.
I would say no, because I don't think he's physically big and strong enough. And I would say yes, because they're giving him an opportunity to trick him out their money. That's because that's what he's doing. They want that. They want that next. I'll just be honest. You know, I mean, he is taking advantage of where they're trying to put him, and if you look at it, he may be smart enough to go ahead on and get the right agent, again, the correct agent, so he won't have to be enslaved with that thought process. I think he got a better chance of beating the system, whereas Colin Sexton has a better chance of going in and earning his, because he is prepared. You see, the whole idea of Trae, and that's the only way that Oklahoma made the NCAA tournament because they would have to go back and eat all the words that they had put out there about putting him up on that high pedestal.
Exactly.
Colin Sexton, on the other hand, had to go through the dirty work to earn his, and he showed in every game his valuability, and he's prepared. But see, Trey's gonna take the ride. I don't blame him for taking. Is he prepared? No, but he's gonna take the ride. And taking the ride is probably the best move for him. He get hurt, small as he is, and people start looking at him again. They don't make the tournament next year. Hey, it's one that now that's really one and done. That's just my opinion.
Well, exactly. Coach, Coach, can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
All right. So we're talking a 6'2", 180-pound young man who averaged 27 points a game. Is that respectable?
Yeah. Which one are you talking about? Both 6'2"? They're both 6'2". Which one are you talking about?
Trey Young.
Trey might be a measly 5'9 and a half, 6 feet. That's all.
Let me just say what I'm saying.
And Dr. Kim, I'm going to do it. They do that with those numbers to justify or to give those players a little bit more static. But he barely 6 feet. Might be 170. If that, I think he might be more or less 165 wet.
Well, I'm gonna say this, coach. You win.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. This is what this show is all about. So make sure you call in 347-857-492. All right. Coach Darryl, you go ahead and say anything else to that?
Hey, but let me say this, though. Darryl, you would have been a good agent for him, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I gave my afro and some stacked tennis shoes and say, let's get this done.
Let's get this money. Yep.
You go, my brother. You go.
But the reality is, man, is the game has become what it is, and you use the word trick them, but the reality is I look at. Some of these other players that came into the league. Look at what was his name? Allen Iverson. He was very short.
Yeah.
But he did okay. I think this guy is young. You know, coming out of high school, doing his thing, but I think he's young. But I think he has the opportunity here to play in the majors and do well. You know, with the right people around him.
Let me give you a little history on Alvin Iverson too while we're talking. Played in Philly, played out in the parks where everything goes, and played on concrete and played with all thugs all day and all night long because that's exactly what he was coming in. So the game was he was bigger than the game coming in. This kid here, this is a Sunday school guy. What he does now is I'm calling like I see it now. You might come back he's what the league wants because the league has turned into a 3-point frantic because the biggest player in the league is who? He's at Golden State. And he seems to be he seems to be fitting that pedestal, that template, and they buying in. And he's being smart enough to follow the agenda. And I agree with that. But he's gonna be a failure, and it won't be long because he don't have that. Should I call that savage of the Allen Iverson? Where if I need to go in and dunk on you, I dunk on you. If I need to cut you for 40. I can take my team to the NBA final on my back. Practice? What am I practice for? He ain't got that. Yeah, he ain't got none of that.
Yeah, what practice for? There you go.
Hey, let me tell you something here. Trey is the question. Alvin Iverson is the answer.
Yes.
Well, I guess what you're saying is, in short is Trey. I mean, Allen Iverson was barbecue, and Trey is mildew. So that's what you said.
Yeah, prime. Allen is prime. Prime real, man. Prime. Others, you know, what they call it, hog meat.
So y'all are calling this boy a hamburger baby. I understand what you said.
Hamburger, man. We get it in there. But you know what? That's awesome. This discussion is awesome because the thing about it, you know, the lead has turned into more of an open floor league where you have a lot of three points. Because he said, I'm just like Stephen Curry. I can pull up at 35 and shoot it too. And that's what his thinking is, that, okay, I'm not going to worry about going in there and get hit. But every time Stephen go in there and get hit, Stephen hurt. You know, Stephen
that's
got
right.
something going on with him. But the point is, the lead is built for these individuals that shooting at three, can shoot 27 and shoot 40 points. It's built for the lead like that. And the lead is built for that. So we'll say, you know, however it go, whereas you got the Colin Sexton, he's a what they call a hard hat. He's going to work. He'll go in there. He'll take it to
That's
him.
Right.
And the floor.
That's
and
right.
the lead open for him because you can't play down on zone. And if you do, he's
That's
coming
right.
in just like he was bulldogging his way, still trying to make it and bring it back Alabama on just going to the basket and getting fouled. So it's two different players, but that's not saying those players can't meet it because the way the projection of the draft coming out, you got Trey Young is number 9. And got Colin Sexton number 10, or it might be a 8 and 9, but it's somewhere. So that's out of the lottery pick. Now they ain't talking about nothing but the lottery now when they said the top 10. So that means
that's
that both of these players have an opportunity to do that. So whether it be considered the best move or the greatest move, it's an opportunity for them to go out there and play and help their family. So that way they don't have to sit out no couple games because they was talking to their mama and had dinner with a financial advisor. Is that what they call it?
That's
it. Somewhere? A financial advisor. Now, you sit out and help.
That's exactly what they call it now.
Yeah, so that's good. We knew what the goal was. All right, let's move to some NBA, and I want us to talk about the situation with Cleveland. You had Coach Tyronn Lue take a leave of absence from the Cavs. Is this a good or bad thing for the championship hopes?
Let me go first. This is what you call the seat is on fire. The water is to my elbows. I am about to drown. I need some assistance. I can't breathe. I cannot breathe.
Okay.
They can fire them.
Right,
that man's gonna be at the house.
LeBron
running the team.
Ahead.
I can't get no say. You traded away all the players I had. You gave me trash, hot garbage in exchange.
I can't talk to the huddle.
LeBron tells me shut up. I gotta shut up. I'm getting sick.
Damn, Miss, I'm
going to have all these
sick. And we got
he
sick all of a sudden.
All of a sudden, he felt sick. Yeah, because you're going to get fired. I know when I was working, I almost got fired. I got sick. That's
all
what
right.
it is.
All
the
right.
Water, the seat is hot.
It's hot. Okay. All right. Coach Smith laid it out there. So we're going to say, is it good or bad? At this point, it's good because LeBron is running the team. Always. And it's bad for Tyronn Lue because his days is numb.
Well, you know, I think stress does have its ailments behind it now. But I think she just identified what caused the stress.
Yes, sir. A lot of stress. A lot of stress. Yeah. But so we'll look at the Cavs, and we're saying now their championship hopes may be altered, but we'll have to see because they're playing tonight. So
by the way, they just won. They just won.
So they just won, and they won two games with the real coach. The real coach is
right.
LeBron James.
And
the king. Yeah. Okay, Darryl, you were talking. You said something?
Okay. No, I didn't say anything.
Okay. All right. Well, we kind of touched that pretty quick. Now, let me go look at a couple more. And we got a little extended time tonight, so we can talk and be free to talk if we need to talk even longer. All right. I just want you to think about this. Who are the top three most dominant athletes, that's not athletics, but athletes, in the last 20 years?
Okay. Got my three.
Whatever sport it is, you get your three. Now, we all get our three and share our three. The top most dominant athletes in the last 20 years, NBA, MLB, NFL, anything, track, whatever you want to get. All right. Coach,
where are you going to
start out first? All right.
Number one, Michael Jordan, NBA basketball. Tiger Woods, golf. I got a toss-up between Serena and Brady for number three, and I'm done.
All right. Okay.
Let Darryl go next.
Coach Darryl.
Who you got there?
Okay. All right. Wait. Because I'm trying to figure this out. When you say the top three in the last 20 years.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So,
yeah,
that's kind of
tough. It's tough. I'm saying it's tough. But I saw that on it.
All right. Here you go.
All right.
Floyd Mayweather.
Okay.
All right. Kevin Durant.
Okay.
And UCN Bolt. Those three.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Here we go. I know I'm about to get lit into, but let's go ahead and make it work.
Won't be nobody.
Michael Jordan ain't even in there.
Thank God, Michael Jordan.
They were still doing the great thing. I got Chad Ochocinco, so Chad Johnson. Probably one of my best line of season. Couldn't lock him up. I got LeBron. The next one would probably be, I got two, so I'm going three and a half. Got Floyd Mayweather.
Okay.
I got to go Usain Bolt.
Okay. Awesome. Here we go. Number one. I'm gonna start from three at work, but I'm gonna start with number one all time to me, Kobe Bryant, the man with the eyes.
Kobe Bryant, the man with the Oscar.
Nobody else got an Oscar. All right, my second person
is
Serena Williams. Serena Williams, I think one of the most dominant athletes in all time. I think she do it for the last 20. And then our last but not least, and I don't want to ever try to split minds, but I get that I'm going to tell y'all really, really who I would prefer: Tiger Woods. I think the man. Did something that golf into this world that has never been done. So he was most dominant.
We agreed on one.
Y'all didn't agree on one about?
Hold on.
Kobe won the well. Kobe came in the league wanted to wear Mike's damn jersey.
He only got five.
He got five. Mike got six. Hold it. He got five. Mike got six. Mike went and played baseball, came back, and still continued with number 45. And if he hadn't left the league, he might have had eight. And you said, Kobe.
Kobe, man. He has an Oscar. Mike don't have no Oscar. Really. But,
Hold on. That's
awesome.
Y'all said Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
Tiger Woods.
Mm-hmm. Right.
White got a better swing than he do.
Yeah, she can knock a woman out, boy. And his head, too, she got
open. Tiger Woods, white got a better swing. Looking more accurate.
Got a better swing. Boy,
yeah.
I tell you, it's been an awesome show. It's been an awesome show tonight. Real excited that the team was here. We all was in full force, all except Coach Edwards, but I know he'll be back with us next week. So it was all about upset. So we want you to make sure you prepare yourself to watch a possible upset-laden second weekend in the NCAA March Madness. And we'll look at the second week on next week's show. Just remember, our call-in number is 347-857-4192. You can go to the web link, that is www.blogtalkradio.com/LDAlberto Smith Production, and you can join us next Wednesday at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Sometime it will be an hour, it might be long an hour. So we had an opportunity to take advantage of long an hour tonight. And before we close it out, we want our co-hosts to kind of share their thoughts and some things with you, and then we're going to call it tonight and we'll end up on some nice music. A little game changer.
Glad to be back. I hope I didn't dominate it, but when I'm gone and come back, I just come in full force. But anyway, I'd like for all of you to take the day, and don't let the day take you.
Awesome, Coach. Thank you, Coach, so much. Coach Smith.
I'm going to go ahead and say, make sure everybody watching basketball. If you can, watch basketball. Colin Sexton. If anybody listening to this up in Tuscaloosa, I know I got two or three people. Tell Colin Sexton to stay in school. Tell him to not go nowhere. Tell him to stay in school. One more thing. Let's go Duke. I can't wait to watch this weekend.
Excuse me. Awesome. And I want to make get a shameful plug in for our show tomorrow night. But I do know that we're actually got the games on tomorrow night, and Coach Smith, I got you before, but we already got it set up. We got a show set up for tomorrow night in regards to talking real to you, and that's a topic we like to talk about, but we'll continue to talk. It's been posted, and you can call in tomorrow night, 347-857-4192, and we'll go from there, but we do want to wish you an awesome night, and say we thank you for joining us, and I always have to just tell everybody what my partner in crime say. You know, he always tell you, he just said, take the day, don't let the day take you. So take the night, don't let the night take you. There you go. So you
That's
have
so
an
cool.
awesome night. And we're going to look forward to having you on here next week. That's Talking Sports Plus. And we're going to end it up with one of my partner's favorite songs. And he can kind of chime off on this one. That's called what? Coach Starwood, we call this song what?
You talking about the game change, aren't you?
Hey, we talking about the game change.
My man.
Have an awesome night, everybody.
You never got to ask, never got to question my love.
One question.
I ain't never going to let nothing come between us, my babe. The way I see it, girl, we can rule the world, we can have whatever we want. It's not like you're not worth it, more than deserve it. Girl, when it comes down to love, you're a game changer.
Yes.
Yeah. gonna take down everything I would meet. Well, when you came along, baby girl, you changed it all and stopped all my playing. I guess what I'm saying,